Okay. Hamsaya. Unto the most exalted and pure. Pavitram Paramam. The supreme pure. Dara. In the core of the heart. Lilayaya. Whose abode. Nirikshakaya. Supervising the activities of the individual soul. Krishnaya. Unto the super soul. Who is a partial manifestation of Krishna. Rishta Yashashe. Whose reputation is very bright. Nirupa Kramaya. Who has no beginning. Sat Sangrahaya. Understood only by pure devotees. Bhava Panta Nija Ashrama Aptau. Being attainment of the shelter of Krishna. For persons within this material world. Ante. At the ultimate end. Parishta Gataye. Unto him who is the supreme goal. The highest success of life. Harege. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Te. Unto you. So translation. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. So you can repeat. O Lord, O Supreme Pure.
O Lord, O Supreme Pure.
You live within the core.
You live within the core.
Of everyone's heart.
And observe all the desires
and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees. Because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna. For although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of Purachanaya Sadunam Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees,
And therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desire of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the supreme person above even Vishnu and Narayana, although there is no difference between these different forms of the Lord. As explained in Brahma Samhita in the 5th chapter, text 46, Dipartireva hita shantaram avyupecha dipate vivrita hitu samana dharma yastadrageva hicha Vishnutaya vivati govendamari purusham damaham vajami. Krishna expands himself as Vishnu the way a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word amrishta yashashe is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotee from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and whose only source of relief is the Lord is known as a Kinchana, as expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti. The Lord is a Kinchana Vital, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from the bondage of conditioned life are elevated to the spiritual world where they achieve five kinds of liberation: Sayuja, Salokya, Sarupya, Sarshti, and Samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Vathurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna. As described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow Adi Ras is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. So, Ahamsaya Tatra Nilayaya Nirikshakaya Krishnaya Mushta Yashashe Nurupakramaya Satsam Grahaya Bhavapanta Nijashramaptav Ante Parishta Gatake Harihe Namaste. So, Omagana Timuranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and many time Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here we find the description that's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chan Sakalak Purgamsa. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Bhagavan. Bhagavan, of course, means the person who is full of opulences, and Swayam, he's Swayam Bhagavan. So this is a point that's discussed oftentimes, especially when you're amongst people from Indian extraction. Many of them think that Vishnu is God. Of course, many of them also think that the demigods are gods. You know, like if you go into a Hindu temple, they'll say, let's see the gods. Or even they'll refer to Krishna, the God. So in any case, this is somewhat of a point of controversy, especially if you go into South India. You go to Srirangam or to other places like that, and they'll have a big deity of Lord Vishnu, which is very nice. And they'll tell you that, you know, Krishna expands from Lord Vishnu. So there's several ways to approach this. One way, of course, is to defeat them by quoting these verses from the Shastra. And also we can use logic and reasoning to prove that Krishna is the original. Logic and reasoning means that Krishna has more qualities or exhibits more qualities, not precisely has more qualities, but exhibits more qualities than the other manifestations of Godhead. I mean, there's four specific qualities. Krishna is known to have 64, and four of those are exclusively in Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, in Vrindavan. Does anyone know what those four are? What? He plays a flute. Unexcelled beauty. Unexcelled loving pastimes. Here's another one. Devotees. Intimate devotees. Intimate devotees. So, anyway, so just like sometimes you see in these some of these Bollywood films about Mahabharata and everything like that, you see Krishna outside of Vrindavan with a flute. But he's not outside of Vrindavan with the flute. Only in Vrindavan does he utilize the flute. So this is logic and reasoning. We can understand that Krishna or God exhibits the highest qualities or the most qualities within Vrindavan, and that means that's the fullest manifestation of Godhead. I mean, sometimes we may think that Vishnu and Krishna are different, but they're not different. Advaita chuta nadi radanta rupam adyam purana purusham navyovanam cha, as it's also described in the Brahma Samhita. Advaita, there's just one God. It's not that we're worshipping many gods. Sometimes, I mean, even people from outside of the Vedic culture will say, oh, you Hare Krishnas, you have many, many gods. Because, you know, we have Lord Nrsimhadeva, we have Varaha. In fact, there's as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. And Prabhupada even says that there are incarnations in every species of life. And that's really hard to imagine. You know, there's 8,400,000 species of life, and that means there's an incarnation in every single one of those species of life. That's pretty intense. So that doesn't mean we have many gods. Even though the description is, you know, one candle lights many other candles, we understand it's the same person exhibiting himself variously in various places according to various relationships. And it's easy to understand because we can explain how we or someone else has different relationships according, or different manifestations of their personality according to different relationships they have, different names they have according to different relationships or different situations. So Krishna is the same way. And it's interesting also that we hear this Parichranaya Sadhanam Vinishaya Shudushkritam, which Prabhupada quotes here in the purport. And it's mentioned by the Acharyas, even in Vrindavan, it's not that Krishna in his original form or original manifestation is killing the demons. It's in his Vasudeva form. Vasudeva, of course, means Krishna as the Lord of the universe. That means his all-pervade, like we have the word Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That means one offers obeisances to the Supreme Personality of God. It is the Lord of the universe. But indirectly, the Acharyas say, when we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, it indicates Krishna, who is the son of Vasudeva. So there's two ways to understand that. The literal way, which is that God is the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the indirect way, which means that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because when we say Vasudeva, we indicate the son of Vasudeva. But also, another point is, when Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudeva, he was in his Vasudeva form. Because as the son of Vasudeva, outside of Vrindavan, he is not in the original form. He's not his original manifestation. It's the Vasudeva expansion. Whereas in Vrindavan, once he enters into Vrindavan, then he's in his original manifestation. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very interesting explanation concerning the appearance of Lord Krishna in this material world. That he says that actually Vrajendra Nandana Krishna, that Krishna was actually born from Mother Yashoda. He explains in his purport that Krishna was born from Mother Yashoda along with a girl at the same time. And the Krishna that was born from Vasudeva and Devaki was the expansion of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna. So when Vasudeva brought this, when Vasudeva brought the Vasudeva Krishna to Vrindavan, that Vasudeva Krishna entered into Krishna's, into Krishna. In other words, they already won, but they manifested as one. And he brought back the girl, and of course that was Yogamaya. So that's explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So according to one's rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one worships a particular form of the Lord, and one worships the particular form of the Lord in a specific way. And each one, and every one of us has a eternal rasa that is right now covered up by our anarthas, our illusions within this material world. So the process of bhakti is to come to the point of understanding one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. And actually, the word rasa doesn't mean relationship. It means the taste of a relationship. Relationship with rati would mean like relationship. But the word rasa means the taste that you have in a particular relationship, although devotees confuse the word rasa with rati. So according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas, we follow this process of Vaidhi Bhakti to awaken our understanding of what our rasa is, what our taste is in devotional service. And that taste is inherently there. It's there right now. But right now, we have a taste for something else, for this material illusion. So, anyway. So, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadbhagni Nirvapanam, Shaya Kairavya Chandrika Vitaranam, Vija Vadajivanam, Ananda Bhuti Vadanam, Pratipadam, Purnamrita Svadanam, Sarvatma Snapanam, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. By chanting, then the dirt that is impeding our understanding of our spiritual identity. Wow, what a surprise. Wow, I didn't expect you to come. Thank you for coming. Did you bring Leela Sugar with you? Or? Okay. By chanting, then we actually, it's like coming up the sun coming up in the morning, that our eternal relationship with Krishna becomes revealed to us. And then we can enter into the second stage of bhakti yoga, second stage of sadhana, which is called the Raganuga stage. And on the Raganuga stage, we can actually start to perform internal sadhana. Actually, everyone is meant to have some sort of internal life and devotional service. If you don't have an internal life and devotional service, then you're going to be caught up so much in the externals, especially, it's not that we should neglect the externals, it has to be balanced, that you get caught so much caught up in the externals that you actually won't be cultivating your bhakti within your heart. So devotees should actually concentrate on this internal life, whatever stage they're at. You know, if they're in the Vaidhi stage, where you perform the vidhi or rules and regulations. And then as you progress, then you come to the Raganuga stage. But we're meant to be very internal. As Prabhupada said, devotional service is performed with the subtle body. I mean, the gross body, of course we're doing devotional service with that, but the real thing is the subtle body. Because if we don't do devotional service simultaneously with the mind and the heart, then that's called Niyam Agraha by Rupa Goswami, that we're performing devotional service without actually the right consciousness. In other words, it's better than nothing, obviously. But according to Rupa Goswami, it's one of the causes of deviation from devotional service. So we have to have this internal life going on. And once this internal life is going on, we will have the stability to be fixed in our devotional service in spite of all the different reverses that occur externally in this world. Anyway, and then we ultimately come to the point of realizing who we are in the spiritual world, who we're meant to serve in the spiritual world, and this is Raganuga Bhakti, and after that comes Baba Bhakti, and after that comes Prema Bhakti. So these are the steps in devotional service. So, any questions or comments? I'm not going to speak any more about this verse. Yes?
So how do we distinguish the difference between internal and external, and also how to develop the internal more?
Well, external is that, first of all, you got the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, you know, the four regulative principles, rising early. These are all external stuff, which has to be done. It's not that you don't do the external and say, I'm just internal. We find that many times. Actually, that's one of the problems that many of our second generation have. They say, well, I'm not chanting 60 rounds because I'm doing kirtan all day long. You ever hear the people say that? I've heard them say that. I'm doing kirtan, you know, I love Krishna, you know, there are the regulated principles, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, it's not going to hurt me, because I love Krishna, I was born in the movement, I'm coming from Vaikuntha. Well, you may be coming from Vaikuntha, but you can also come from Vaikuntha and end up here. You understand? You can, we're originally from the spiritual world anyway. So, one has to follow very strictly. In fact, Prabhupada mentions that even when on a higher platform in devotional service is following very strictly to set an example for others, and also because they're humble enough, they're humble, and they think themselves not to actually be a devotee. Prabhupada said a devotee just never calls himself a devotee. And so they're scared of the illusory energy. Like Prabhupada, of course, being on the absolute highest platform in devotional service, you know, he said, you know, one time he said, I'm praying just to not fall down from devotional service. And of course, Prabhupada could never fall down from devotional service, being who he is. So, one has to be very strict externally, which is the four regulative principles, rising early, chanting your rounds every day, serving the Vaishnavas, and doing all these things externally. But at the same time, the internal life means that we should be doing these things with the idea of pleasing Krishna. At least in the beginning, that's how the internal life starts. You haven't yet realized your spiritual identity. So in the beginning, you're just thinking, Krishna, or my guru, I want to please you very much. And this is the mood. This is the internal mood in the Vaidhi stage. And then later on, the internal mood in the Vaidhi, in the Raghunuka stage, is that you're actually performing or taking part in the Lord's Ashtakalaya Lila. You're meditating on it. You're practicing. It's still practice. It's still sadhana. Ashtakalaya Lila means the eightfold pastimes according to the times of the day when the Lord executes his activities. For example, in the first time of the day, you know, Krishna is actually, if you're meditating on Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna is waking up, he's with Radharani, and he has to run home to make sure that he's not discovered by Mother Yashoda. So you actually meditate on that. It's not that... Krishna. That's one of the symptoms of ecstasy. So you meditate on that in the sense that you're serving, in some serving capacity within that, within those pastimes. And you're serving some devotee within those pastimes. And then, anyway, so that's how the internal life further gets transformed. But as far as most of us are concerned, you know, the Vaidhi platform, we actually start thinking, you know, I want to do that. Whatever you're doing, you should be thinking of doing it to please Krishna. Like it says, yad karoshi yadashnashi yajdahoshi vedashi yad. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away should be done as an offering to me. And that means as you're doing it, you should actually be thinking, not ritualistically, you should be thinking, I want you to be pleased, Krishna. Hopefully you'll accept this, Krishna. Like when you're making the offering, it's not just like some mantras that you're reciting. And if you get too much into the rituals, then you can tend to get away from the right consciousness. Like, for example, I mean, I've given the example in deity worship many times, that if you get too much into counting how many circles around a big circle, then you're going to be just absorbed in mathematics. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, next guy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Next word. And then you're going to be forgetting, you know, Krishna, please accept this incense. Krishna, please accept this flower. Krishna, please accept this. That's how you should be thinking when you're doing arti. Not just like, you know, looking at the clock, you know, you got 1 minute for this article, 2 minutes for that article. I mean, it's better than nothing, obviously. Of course, we could get a machine to substitute for you. You know, a robot or something like that. I'm sure that's coming in the future, where, you know, it's time for RT, a concho blows, the curtains open automatically, and a hand comes out. Yeah. What is that? There was that horror show on TV. There was one. There was a hand called the Thing. So the whole point is, while you're doing RT, is to cultivate devotion. I mean, all the rules and regulations are subservient to the point of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So the rules and regulations, Prabhupada, of course, was very expert in adjusting these things. Somehow or other, after Prabhupada left, we became a little bit more ritualistic. And we do find devotees getting so much into the rituals, or recommending that others get so much into the rituals, that there tends to be a forgetfulness of the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is to please Krishna. I mean, if you're doing your service and you're not thinking of pleasing Krishna, that's just external devotional service. That's Niyamagraha right there. So as you're doing it, you should be thinking, Krishna, please accept, even though I'm unqualified. You can be doing, making prayers in your mind and things like that. Even though I'm unqualified and, you know, I'm not even a devotee, somehow or other, Krishna, please accept this incense. And that's a successful arti right there. Even if you don't count everything perfectly. Does that make sense? So that's our internal service. I mean, Raghunuga is something much more advanced, you know, that we're ready for right now. But I'm just giving you the information so you know what's coming up in the future. Because you have to strive for that. You know, Krishna, bring me to a higher platform so I can actually serve you internally. Because if our life remains external, then we're going to be always looking for external enjoyment too. We're still going to be attached to the tongue. In the name of Prasadam. The Prophet said many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. That's an interesting statement. Many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. That means they were simply being external in their devotional service. So, anyway, on that happy note, any questions, other questions or comments? Or arguments or problems? Yes.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's a step. That's a step. I mean, but they shouldn't think that that is higher. That they're more advanced. I mean, someone who's actually advanced, they're going to be very strict, like Prabhupada getting up early every morning, chanting. Prabhupada chanted his rounds every day. I mean, we saw Prabhupada just sometimes in the evening finishing his rounds, pacing back and forth, and, you know, finishing 16 rounds. Prabhupada did chant 16 rounds. He didn't have to chant 64 because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said those who preach, they don't have to chant 64. They can chant 16, but those who stay back in the temple, they should chant 64. Now, we're not making that injunction here. But, no, it's nice that people attach to service. There's nothing wrong with it. However, a higher stage is to do your sadhana. And a higher stage is to do your sadhana, but internally be cultivating your relationship with Krishna. I mean, there's a goal. There's different steps. There's a hierarchy in devotional service. It's not that everything is equal. It's not that everyone is equal. So, yeah. Okay, so any other questions or comments? Pepe, you had a question? Yes.
Like, I was thinking about meditating on that, just about what you were saying, and the fact that we could actually become too familiar with doing something, our service, and therefore it becomes...
we become complacent in our service, because...
Well,
after a while, there's a tendency when you're doing a particular service every day is put your body on automatic pilot. You know, I've noticed that tendency. You know, just to be frank, that it's just like... As you're doing RT, like a Guru Puja every day, you put your body on automatic pilot and then your mind can go somewhere else and it looks to everybody else like you're doing a great service, but actually your mind is on automatic pilot. Or your body's on automatic pilot. And it's like that, those pilots, once upon a time, there were pilots in the plane who put their plane on automatic pilot and they were having some discussion and they overshot the runway by 200 or 300 miles. It happened. They were talking about whatever they were talking about. It's not important. They're playing with their iPads or something like that. And so we have to avoid that, because as you do the same service every day, there is that tendency. Because you become expert. You know, you can do it. I mean, like cooking, for example, you become expert, isn't it? And so, you know, with perfect approval, he can cook a whole feast with his eyes closed. Confirmed. But while he's cooking, he should be thinking, my dear Lord Krishna, please accept this. The whole point is, bhakti mam avijanati yavam yas chastri tatvataha. Krishna can only be pleased by devotion. I mean, it's good to serve Krishna, even if you're doing it automatically. I mean, it's better than nothing. But one should be cultivating the sense of pleasing Krishna with an heart. There has to be an internal thing going on. Otherwise, you're going to just be concerned with how much you're appreciated by the other devotees for winning the Sankirtan marathon. You know, if you're still in the, after 30 years or 40 years in the movement, you're still like, concerned with getting the award in Mayapur for being the best chanter or the best whatever you are, the best cook. That means there's something going on that's wrong. If you're still concerned with that externally. Okay.